This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Kansas City. Oh, no, it's okay. Fair enough. It is, though. Kind of. Tonight's actually like, tonight's the capital city of Brent Beach Town. What is it, 65, 66, and 95?
That's right. 63, 66, 95.
Yeah.
66.
For now.
60, yeah, for now. Right. Who knows what they're going to do later
they got,
on today.
Mac, I don't even know. They're going to get Mr. Irrelevant in the seventh round.
That's right. Yes, including Mr. Irrelevant. I'm excited for that.
That is kind of fun, though. Like, yeah. That gives you some sort of closure.
Yeah,
it's
for
like
sure.
you get to close the book.
Yeah, it's cool. Right? It's fun. Yeah. And then you see if the guy makes the team. You know who was? I think, if Colquitt. I'm not mistaken, no, it was not Colquitt. It was Suckup.
That's
who.
Yes.
I was going to say Harrison. What's his name?
Butker.
I was thinking Harrison Bader.
Butker was off Carolina's practice squad, Bob. Yeah. Everyone knows that.
Everyone knows that. Yeah, but he could have been Mr. Irrelevant back then for Carolina. I don't know if he was drafted or not, but he's a kicker. Mr. Irrelevant, Ryan Suckup. So we get the opportunity to have Mr. Irrelevant again. Somebody on the text line does not like Jay Binkley, you were saying this morning, saying this is why Binkley's on the radio and not an NFL GM.
That's
I've
right.
seen some NFL. Remember, Scott Pioli was an NFL GM, folks. Okay, so let's not put Jay Binkley and slander Jay Binkley. Oh, he's not an NFL GM. I've seen a lot of these guys that are NFL GMs that are now doing nothing in life. So back off Jay Binkley on this one. It's his opinion.
Yeah, it's like his opinion, man.
That's the thing about the draft. Like, everybody can have their opinion about it. I was talking to my friend Joe yesterday. He had opinions on a lot of things that we were talking about yesterday. He said something about who he wanted the Chiefs to draft. And I remember where he goes, but that's just my opinion. I'm like, yeah, and I don't necessarily agree with your opinion on that, but we can have a nice conversation about it. Doesn't mean we have to hate each other. Like, everybody's going to have their opinion, and it's all going to come out in the wash. You were saying you had a buddy last night talking about, well, this guy could be a bust, and you're like, he could also be an all-pro, right?
Yes.
Like, we just don't know what these guys are going to be, and the fallacies of the draft grades that come out immediately after the draft, mm-hmm. you just don't know what somebody's going to be like and how they're going to translate into the NFL and how the NFL is going to, you know, kind of accept them. And if they're willing to make the adjustments and become an NFL player, like, it's all on the player now, man. It really is, especially at a tackle position. It's on that guy to make sure he's not a bust in this league. And how many busts have the Chiefs drafted under Brett Veach?
I mean, it depends on how deep you want to go. Well, you consider yourself what's a bust.
What's a bust? The first or second round, probably.
I always give him two. I give him Clyde. I give him Breland.
That's it.
Maybe there's another one. Is there another one?
What's the other
one? Oh, yeah, Sky.
So was he a second round pick?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay,
Sky
fine.
Won.
But
yeah,
I mean, you still have won 3 Super Bowls and been to 5. Like, I mean, oh, no.
Yeah.
Breland speaks.
Yeah, you can always find negatives.
Just yeah.
Like, you can always find positives, right?
Like, exactly.
Say Worthy, Rice, you know, Cree, Trey.
But people seemingly look for the negatives before they want to look for the positives, you know. I mean, you just continue to name the positives.
Yeah.
Like, please do, because some people need to hear that.
Here's how I vote success for a GM. Have your positives outnumbered your negatives, and have they also severely outweighed your negatives?
Oh, God, yes.
Right? Like, did Clyde Edwards send you back 5 years?
No.
Did Sky Moore send you back 3 years?
No.
Could have, but didn't. And then people, you know, that also have that same negative mentality, like, well, he got lucky with Worthy and Rice.
No, he didn't.
I mean, like, I don't know
people
if a guy's...
People clown the Worthy pick, man.
A lot of them did.
Yeah, a lot of people did.
Too small, can't... Yep. Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yep. People clown
every
pick, though.
How did he finish on the team's receiver list this last year's rookie?
Pretty good.
Yeah,
he was number one, right?
Yeah.
So, but that's the thing. Like, you can clown these picks today. You can love up these picks today. We're not going to know anything until the season starts and how good these guys are going to be. And maybe in Josh Simmons' case, we won't know till this time next year how good this guy can potentially be, right? And that's good. Right. I'm fine with that.
And speaking of that, like, you guys saw Jack Caglione, or not yet?
No.
Okay. This is Mel Kiper on Shador Sanders.
Broncos are on the clock at number 20, and right now it's time for a look at Mel's best available, brought to you by Courtyard by Marriott.
Okay, yeah, got some good ones. Shador, I'm amazed right now that he's still on the board, as I was with Aaron Rodgers. New Orleans, hey, I'm going to wait and see who makes a move to get Shador Sanders before I start talking about those organizations that will haunt them.
Okay. Haunt them. It's going to haunt them. How much are the Sanders family paying Mel Kiper Jr.?
Yeesh.
I mean, we were at the landing for most of the draft, so it was hard to hear. I get home and I get a text from a buddy of mine. He's like, "Are you watching this?" I'm like, "Well, we just got back from the landing. I'm turning it on now." He goes, "Mel Kiper's really all over the Sanders family and like Shador's jock on this one, like just kind of being despondent over this whole thing." I'm like, "All right, whatever." I turned it on. I'm like, "Oh my God, you're right." And then you start to look around the interwebs and see what people are saying. Like everybody last night is like, "Is Mel Kiper in the back pocket of Deion Sanders and Shador Sanders on this one?" Because it really did feel like to me yesterday, Mel Kiper was taking Shador Sanders sliding personally, like it was a direct shot at him, and he was defensive every time somebody picked somebody that wasn't Shador Sanders yesterday. I just felt like that was an odd watch to see somebody like that on national television acting like they were personally slighted that Shador Sanders fell out of the first round.
No, it felt like he was against the consensus on Shador Sanders. All of the NFL and all of these analysts that we listen to and we look for some sort of, you know, knowledge from, we're kind of, Shador Sanders doesn't have the physical talents. The dad is kind of a hindrance on drafting him, a lot of drama. Mm-hmm. Mel Kiper was the only one, and he was vehement the whole night. I mean, we got a text here mentioning Shador in the same sentence with Aaron Rodgers is insane. We've got another piece of audio there from Mel Kiper as well. He compares him to a lot of them. Yeah.
To make the aggressive.
Yeah, we always act like we're in the sixth round of the draft right now, and Shador Sanders hasn't been picked. No. And we're still where Lamar Jackson wasn't taken. And last time I checked the Baltimore Ravens book, Hayden Hurst, a 25-year-old tight end at the time, out of South Carolina, tight end. And then they traded back into 32 to take Lamar Jackson. We're ready to pack it up at the end of day one and get ready for day two, right? There's Lamar Jackson. That list of the pocket pass, Johnny Unitas, cut by the Steelers, passed over, right? Nobody won it. Dan Marino passed over for Cal Davis and Ken O'Brien, right? Joe Montana went the third round. Kurt Warner, undrafted free agent. Peyton Manning, people have to look like Ryan Leaf over and put Phil Polian to take him number one overall. Matt Ryan. Jake Long went ahead of Matt Ryan. They took him so far, so for Ken Henning over Matt Ryan. Hockey guy, how'd that work out, right? Drew Brees, second round. Chargers, then Miami didn't take him. Goes to New Orleans, right? How'd that work out? Brock Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant. Kirk Cousins, fourth round pick. They're all traditional drop back pocket passers. I didn't mention the greatest of all time, Tom Brady, sixth round pick.
Oh, so Brady was a six-round pick? Was that Caliendo or was that Mel Kiper? Because that sounded like a spoof.
No, that was Drafula, baby.
That was Drafula.
He'd been in that casket all winter long waiting to get that take off.
He compared him to every, like, goat.
Johnny Unitas. Raise your hand if you were alive when Johnny Unitas played. Okay, you're going back into the way back machine.
He could be a Joe Montana.
When the NFL was not what it is today, come on, man. Like that, are you sure that wasn't Caliendo? Mm-hmm. Are we positive that wasn't Frank Caliendo doing his Mel Kiper?
What was worse, Mel Kiper ranting about quarterbacks in the past or that singer trying to hit the notes of Don't Stop Believing in
Kiper,
the background?
Kiper. Definitely,
I mean,
Kiper.
Good hell. Yeah. That had to have been Joey Bro doing karaoke back there.
But like the Shador Sanders stuff, man, obviously that's the top story of the day. It's going to be everywhere. That's all people are going to be talking about, and rightfully so. Everybody, for the most part, I would say, believed he was probably going to go 21 to Pittsburgh, and then Pittsburgh takes a defensive tackle, and Mike Tomlin's like, "We can't pass up a good talent." You know, just like typical Mike Tomlin. Uh-huh. We're kind of desperate. We needed this guy. Let's go. And they passed up the quarterback, Shador Sanders. And I think there's a couple of reasons why. Obviously, he's not as good as everybody thinks he is. Number two, you know, you kind of have to deal with the ancillary stuff that comes along with Shador Sanders that maybe a lot of NFL teams don't want to deal with. And they're, quite frankly, just better players on the board at that point in time. But the one thing that I do have a problem with is, like, all these folks that are, like, excited that Shador is slipping because they don't like his dad. And they're taking out the dislike of his dad on the kid. And I do have a little bit of a problem with that. Now, Shador wearing that necklace last night doesn't help, you know, him, you know, getting drafted and all the stuff that people were saying that he's, you know, too much of a show guy and all that kind of stuff before the draft. But anyway, I mean, like, I don't like people taking joy in watching this kid fall because they don't like his dad or something of that nature. Because I do feel bad for Shador Sanders that he was kind of put up into this spotlight and then didn't get picked yesterday and has to be there and, you know, do all that kind of stuff. It sucks. It really does. Like, the human nature side of things for me just sucks.
That's fair.
I don't know if I feel bad for him. I think this is great for him. Mm. I think this is one of those things that when you put yourself in this position where, you know, you make it about you a lot of the times, and that's fine, right? You're a quarterback. Mm-hmm. You were on a flashy team that had a flashy swag, and, you know, you had all this sort of hype going into the draft before the season started. And then the season played out, and all of a sudden, it's no longer college, man. It's like, this is the pros. This is where, like, big decisions happen. This is, you know, college was really fun for us. And then we got into this building, and that horseplay doesn't exist. Yeah. Like, you don't get to just show up a minute before your class and be like, all right, what are we doing today? It's like, nah, man, like, you have duties, you have responsibilities. You are going to be now judged as a, you know, adult. You're no longer a student. And, you know, Shador Sanders, look, man, like, you put yourself in that position. You want to be this guy. You want to be the, I'm, you know, I'm not arrogant. I'm good. There's a reason why I'm going to the, you know, I'm going to be this player. And you didn't get drafted in the first round. And maybe this is something that, you know, now he'll be getting away from his father in college and playing for a professional team. He'll be drafted probably tonight, mm-hmm. more than likely tonight. And now you have a chance and legitimately can say you have a chip on your shoulder where you've never been able to say that your whole life. Your entire life, you've been on the best team. You've had Dion as your dad. You got to do whatever, whenever you wanted. Now you're in the real world, kid. And now you know what it's like to kind of be knocked down a peg. Either this is going to derail him, or this is going to make him change in life and be this guy that's like, you know what? We see a video on Fox Sports, you know, before a football game, and he's sitting down with Tom Rinaldi or whoever the hell is at Fox Sports at that time. And they're like, tell us about what draft day meant to you. And all of a sudden he's like, you know, it was humbling. It was really, you know, you go from Colorado being the man, you know, flashing the watch and being the, you know, the hype guy to, you know, watching your best friend get drafted number two overall in a historic trade. And then you kind of see yourself fall, and you got to give this speech to your family. Like, we didn't expect this. Maybe this is where he rebuilds his new career, new start. And it couldn't be a better thing for him. Or, you know, like we do, like we just did, he could either be all pro or he could be a bust. He could either be a guy that's in the league and goes from being Deion's son to that Shador Sanders, or his, you know, remember when Deion's son was going to be that guy? Now with the cards in his hands, and he's got to take a 7-2 in Texas Hold'em and try to win the pot.
And if this really does affect him and he's not able to get over this, then he was never an NFL quarterback anyway.
Sure.
And that's kind of the way that I view this, right? Like this should not be something that gets in the way of you achieving your dream of being that NFL quarterback. If you were going to be a good NFL quarterback, you're going to be a good NFL quarterback, whether you're the first round pick or you're a second round pick. And so the other thing that this does, and I kind of like your take on that too, he's never going to be called a bust now. I mean, at least in my opinion, you're not a first round quarterback. So first round quarterbacks are the ones that achieve success, it seems like, in the NFL, other than Tom Brady, you know, the outlier there.
Joe Montana, Johnny Unitas.
Yeah, right. I'm talking current day. Okay.
Kurt Warner was undrafted. You know, he was throwing lettuce heads at a grocery store.
Right, exactly. He's working at Hy-Vee. God love him, right?
Ryan Fitzpatrick he went to Harvard.
Harvard, right. Like, but I mean, Ryan Fitzpatrick had a great long
I envy his career.
I do, too. I was trying to think of the right word to
him
use.
Him and Chase Daniel.
Him and Chase Daniel are two of the best. Yeah. Two of the best to have ever played the game because they never played and they made good money. And that's what it's all about, man. Take a back seat, hold the clipboard, make $8 million a year, right? Great job. And so Shador Sanders now, to me, he will never have to overcome being that first round pick and having that bust label attached to him. He can just go be a football player now. And so you may be right about that. This may be the best thing that happened to him because now he doesn't have the hype of having to go into Pittsburgh and being the franchise changing quarterback there. He can be drafted now by a team and be allowed to be just a guy. And he hasn't been allowed to be that guy because of who his dad is and because of everything that goes along with being Deion's kid, right? Now he has the opportunity, whatever team drafts him, go in there and be humble and be that backup guy and be the best teammate you can be, and eventually you'll move up that line. But you've got to be able to do that. You've got to be able to be humbled, and maybe this is the best thing for him. Maybe if he got drafted in the first round, he doesn't get humbled. He goes into an organization, and maybe it doesn't work, and maybe the humbling of this kid, or any of us for that matter, anytime you're humbled, you're like, ugh. You know, you get that humbling experience. Maybe this is the one that maybe is the best thing for him, and he will look back, and you're right, Dusty, look back and go, best thing for me was not being a first-round draft pick, man.
Understanding failure is one thing that you got to know, because we're all going to fail. It just, you know.
It happens. I mean, look at baseball, right? Like, you fail 70% of the time, and you're a Hall of Famer. And they always say in baseball, it's not how you deal with the success. It's how you deal with failure. And you learn more from your fails than you do from your successes. I tell this to my kids all the time. And they're like, yeah, you're right about that, which is awesome to hear, because you never hear you're right as a father. Mm-hmm. And they're like, yeah, you're right. I learn more when things don't go my way. I'm like, exactly. You learn what you did wrong. You learn not to make that same mistake again. And hopefully for Shador, he's learned that, okay, I got to be humble, and I just got to go in there and be a football player and not put the spotlight on me, just like Patrick did when he was drafted. Remember when Patrick was drafted and everybody wanted to already sign him to endorsements? He goes, I'm not doing any endorsements. I'm not doing anything for the first year. I'm just going to be this guy that came in, and then look at what he was able to do because of that, right?
You gamble on yourself.
Yeah.
Because then you got Coors Light, Oakley, Adidas, BioSteel. gets to play at... Lake of the Ozarks golf course every once. We'll see. Did you guys, I don't know if you guys ever had this happen to you. Did you ever move schools like when you understood school? Like, not like if you were in kindergarten or like third grade.
Oh, yeah. Like, no. After freshman year of high school, I moved from
that
Tennessee.
That sucks.
Kansas to Tennessee.
Yeah. I'm glad you said that. Because that's the analogy that I have for Shador Sanders. Like, Shador Sanders went from being like very well known and popular in his school, and now he's got to move schools. Yeah. He can still be the cool, popular guy, but he's got to start over. He's got to gain it. He's got to earn it. He's got to be now like, okay, he's cool. Like, you know, hoping that when people come talk to him, they're not like, what's it like being Deion's kid? It's more so like, so what was it like, you know, going through college, like at Colorado Jackson State? They want to know more about him than they want to know about other things. And you got to rebuild that. And he's moving schools. Like, and in a weird analogy, he's going from, you know, having a group of friends, having all these people, to moving across the state and having to go to a school that he doesn't know anybody, and no one really cares that they don't know him. And
that's exactly right. Nobody cares anymore.
Now you're
in the NFL.
Because you might be on a team that has Myles Garrett.
Right.
And Myles Garrett is the guy. And you're going to walk in as fresh meat, man. And it's like Nick Chubb's there. May not be who he was, but Nick Chubb's there. And he's miles ahead of you. And, you know, you walk in, you know, maybe a little battered after the draft. Mm-hmm. But, hey, look, I didn't think he was going to go in the first round after seeing what people were saying. I saw that, you know, they didn't like him in interviews. Maybe he goes back and reflects on that. Like, yeah, it's probably a little cocky.
Yeah.
I probably would have been, you know, better off if I answered questions differently. Or, man, I really need to work on something before I could even be seen as a serious person in the NFL. Because, again, this is the best of the best of the best, sir.
Right.
Like in the NFL. This is where men go to play the sport. There's a reason why we were glued to a TV last night watching grown men come out on bicycles.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason why
yeah.
we stayed up when we said we wouldn't till pick 32 is in. Because it's dominant, because the best of the best play in this league. And like we have mentioned before, in college, you look great. Reggie Bush analogy. You're the best athlete on a field that has maybe four other athletes that will make it to the next level on that field. You get to the next level, everybody was that athlete on that field.
That's exactly right.
You know, whether they play safety, whether they play D-tackle, whether they play linebacker, whatever it may be, they were one of the best at that level that made it to the next level. So now Shador, after all this has happened, and you were the guy in Colorado and Jackson State, it was fun, party time's over, and you got hit right in the face with the reality check last night.
The reality check was big.
And it's not necessarily rude or mean or, you know, distasteful, but like, again, you can get broken to 1,000 pieces and build yourself up even stronger than you were before. And that's interesting because it was the story and it will continue to be the story until he's taken.
You know, the athletes in my experience doing this job for as long as I have, my experience is the athletes that are willing to adjust and change and realize that they're now on the same level of everybody else. Those are the guys that have the success. The guys who want to fight it and still do everything that they were used to doing because they've always dominated, those are the ones that fail. Because as you mentioned, man, like at this level, everybody's the greatest player at their high school. Everybody's probably the greatest player on their college team. And now you're in with everybody else who's all on the same level that you're at. So what are you going to do to get yourself above all of those guys? Are you going to be willing to put in that work? And a lot of these guys that get into the professional ranks don't understand how to work and how to get better because they've never had to. It's not their fault. They've just been better than everybody else. So they could just go out there and out-talent you and out-slug you and out-hit you and all that kind of stuff. And then they get on the same level where everybody's as good or better than they are, and they have this, oh, my God, moment. I what do I do? And that's how you have to go back to the drawing board and reinvent yourself. Are you willing to do that? Are you able to do that? And the sooner you can realize that as a professional athlete, I think the better off that you're going to be. You can't be stubborn, MJ.